Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
Welcome to today's podcast. So this is part of our series on how trauma informs our business. And I've got an amazing woman with me today, Julie Falk, who I have worked with before. She is actually the woman who inspired me to start my podcast series. She and I did a series together on the art of money, which is fabulous. Y'all, if you have not checked it out, go to my website, emmachurchman.com, and click on the podcast button, and you'll see the link there to the episodes that we did on the art of money. But I asked Julie to join me for this series on how trauma informs our business, because she is able to really go there with entrepreneurs and with business leaders, talking about how what happens inside of us, our inner work, is essential and important to do in order to get different results in our business. And Julie works from the perspective of the feminine. So her business is the Art of Feminine Marketing. And she talks about the feminine, intuitive, soul-whispered mission that all of us have that is the heart of our heart-centered marketing. Julie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to get to do this and be with you again. Been re-listening to our series on money, and you're right, it was so good. And so I'm happy we get to share again.
Yeah, excellent. So first question for you, what inspired you to start working with trauma?
That is a really good question. And I think it goes all the way back to when I started to have my spiritual awakening in the year 2000, when I woke up one day and realized that I couldn't stay in the marriage I was in anymore. And it was so bad. I started to do some inner child work. And I worked with a really powerful psyche and Reiki master, and I didn't believe in any of that stuff. So this was a huge jump for me to trust someone who would look at me and say, do you know there's an angel following you around? And I'd be like, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into? But what I discovered was there was so much trauma in me from the marriage, the abusive relationship, and my own childhood, that there was no way I could create the life that I wanted until I did that inner trauma work. So I started working on my own work. Now, if we flash forward to about 4 years ago, I was in a networking group, a mastermind group with 6 and 7 figure earners, and I met a man named Jeffrey Van Dyke. And Jeffrey has developed this work where you look at the traumas you've experienced and the wounds, and in that are actually the keys to who your exact right tribe are and how you can market to them, the languaging that you use in order to attract those right people. So really, our trauma has gifts in it. I was super intrigued with this. And I said to Jeffrey, if you ever certify in this work, I want to learn to do it. And so when he called me 6 months later and said, I'm getting ready to certify the first 8 people, I said, I'm in. And I got to tell you, Emma, we go back to our money conversation before. I had just signed in on with my first like super high-end coach, spending more money than I'd ever spent on coaching before. And Jeffrey came along and doubled that for me. And I was just like, I'm going to do it. I don't know how. I've got to, like, give me 2 days to figure out how to get you the money and do it. And it's just amazing work. And I have since discovered so many gifts in my own wounds and helping other women in their trauma and their wounding. And when you discover those gifts, the emotional sting starts to go out of those traumas. Really amazing.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. And we're actually going to have Jeffrey Van Dyke participate in this series as well to talk about his perspective on trauma. Yeah. So I love that connection.
So yeah, he's fabulous.
Okay, cool. How do you see trauma affecting entrepreneurs in business, especially as it relates to marketing?
So this is what I see happening, is that all of us go through trauma growing up. We all have wounds. We all have traumas growing up. And what happens is that part of us that gets wounded breaks away and creates a barrier. And when that part of us breaks away, we have to carry around the energy to protect it. And when something happens, like, hey, I've got to become visible and do a Facebook Live, or I've got to jump on a podcast with Emma, that little child who doesn't want to be hurt again, who still is in there, will hop up and start screaming. And then all of the protectors that we've developed around that part of ourselves will come screaming out of the gate and literally stop us. And I've seen so many women stopped by that. And I work with women almost exclusively. I work with a few men, but mostly women. So I mean all people when I say women. But it stops us. And it's as if the inner 5-year-old or the inner 12-year-old is running our business. And we know that 12-year-olds are not capable of running 6 or 7-figure businesses. They just don't have the life skill and the experience. And so that's where we get stuck. And we get stuck in this pattern of, I want you to like me instead of I want to be impactful. I don't want you to hurt me. So we hide away. I don't know what I'd do with that much money. So we hold ourselves small. And all those ways, it's because we're letting our inner child run the bus. And we're letting our inner child because that child has been traumatized.
Right. And so, Julie, would you be willing to give an example of how you help someone if you see that their inner child is running the show with marketing in their business?
Absolutely. So the first place I go with them is, depending on the person, there's two places I would go with them. The first place is we go in, we do some inner work and connect with that inner child, and we take the keys away from the child. We give the child the love and attention they need and then allow the child to go play. Then we bring the grown-up in, and we go through the process of identifying the gifts and the wounds. We go through what are the skills when we're traumatized. Let me back up just a little bit. So what happens when we're traumatized? And Jeffrey will say this too, because this is his, but a trauma is a wound that doesn't get dealt with in real time. So we don't process it in real time. So we have this trauma that happens to us. And there's two things that happen out of that. First, we have a belief that we make up because of that trauma. This happened to me because I am. And then we also spend our lives disproving the belief because we can't be true. So for me, the belief was, this happened to me because I'm defective. I was born defective. I was actually born without a penis, so that made me defective in this world, right? And my whole life, I spent trying to prove that I was as good as my brothers, as good as my ex-husband, as good as the men that I worked with when I did PR. And I developed some really great skills out of that. So when I'm able to go in, when my inner child starts to act up and I go, ooh, something doesn't feel right. Let me go check in there. I begin to pull out, oh, this is a skill I developed because of something that happened in the trauma. And when that happens, then that little girl inside me just puffs up with joy. The negative emotions go away. And she feels loved and appreciated. When she feels loved and appreciated, she's willing to let the grown-up me do the things that need to be done. She's willing to let me, you know, get on a big stage and run my own event, or get on a Facebook Live and talk about what's important to me, or even send a scary email that, you know, talks about my own experience without feeling like, oh, it's going to crash and burn everything. And I hope that answered your question, because I went down this path and I have no idea what the question was now. Sorry.
You know what that was awesome. So what I'm hearing in that, Julie, is it's not about ignoring or annihilating or setting aside the inner part of you that is freaking the fuck out, but it's saying, oh, okay, this part of me has a need. What is that need? How can I soothe that part of me, let that part of me know that I've got this, so that I can actually be empowered as the adult that I am now to take whatever that action is that frightens my 12-year-old.
Exactly. And it's never about getting rid of or killing a part of yourself. I have women who will say to me, I just wish the 12-year-old would go away. Well, there are no bad parts of you. And so it's about loving that part of yourself. And the more love that you can feed that part of yourself, the more it will get along and the more you'll be able to reintegrate it. Now, here's what begins to happen. And this is the really cool thing, Emma, is that as we love those parts of ourselves that are freaking out, as we give them love, they settle down. And then they reintegrate with us, and we become whole. And when we become whole, our work becomes holy. When we are whole, and who we were meant to be, who we were born to be on the planet, we connect with Source. And we connect, the more whole, the more we can reintegrate lost parts of ourselves, the more we can love the parts of ourselves that tend to freak out, then the more we are able to manifest our desires in the world. Because wow. We're standing with Source. Instead of standing over here, trying to keep the gates up around all these little parts of ourselves, we're actually standing with Source, which is where everything's created from. And it's so much easier to create when you're in it than when you're over there saying, I can't come over here and create because I'm busy keeping this part of myself from freaking out and that part of myself from being seen and that part of me, I'm so ashamed of that part of myself, I'm going to push it in the shadow.
Wow.
Love.
Interesting.
Love. Yeah. And it's loving those parts of ourselves that ultimately, if what you can do is love yourself. And that doesn't mean, you know, that's such a platitude, love yourself. But really, it's about those parts of ourselves. Oh, so I feel myself. Like right now, I love to use myself as an example. I find myself going, you're talking too much, Julie. Shut up, let Emma talk. And if I can love that part of myself that really likes to talk, she feels so much better, and I can now slow down.
This is so interesting to me, what you're sharing. I love that phrase, when we become whole, our work becomes holy. And it occurs to me, and this is my own inner wrestling that I'm doing right now, because I'm talking, alongside talking about trauma, I'm talking about faith. I'm about to, this year, launch a pillar of my business that focuses just on faith and ways to lead with faith in your business. And I tried to start doing that earlier this year, and trauma kept coming up first. I was like, holy crap, do I have to talk about trauma publicly? Does it have to be a significant part of my business? Haven't I done enough therapy? Why does this keep coming up? But, you know, clients come to me who have experienced significant trauma. I have experienced significant trauma. And a question that I keep getting is, how do I have more faith? Here's my point. What I'm hearing from you is the trajectory is to move from trauma to self-love to faith to abundance.
Yeah, that's beautiful. There's a quote from Rumi. Is that how you say his name? Rumi, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the wound is the place where the light enters us.
Right.
And I just think that's so beautiful, that the holy part of our business, the faith, comes through our woundedness. Faith doesn't come from the parts that are perfect. Faith comes through the trauma and through the wounds. And it's because that's where we discover how to love.
Mm. Hmm. And so what do you feel keeps women from being able to love themselves?
Well, number one, we're not taught how. I mean, we're literally taught how to shun ourselves. We are taught how to shame ourselves. We are taught how to criticize ourselves. We're never taught how to love ourselves in this society. And we have people that say, love yourself, and people who say, photoshopping women is wrong. But what as a society do we do? You know, we have commercials with women eating double cheeseburgers and perfect airbrushed bodies. And I guarantee those women do not swallow that cheeseburger when they're eating it on TV. But there's this idealized view. And so really we're taught to hate ourselves. And nobody teaches us how to love ourselves.
Right.
And I think that's one of the big reasons why I continue to work with coaches and mentors. You know, so that when I fall into those shadow places, I find I have someone to point it out. Because when you're walking in shadows, you can't see in there anyway. You need somebody outside pointing a light.
Right.
And I find the same thing with my women. You know, I find women who are wounded to believe that, if they act beautiful and sexy, that means they're asking to be violated. And if they act smart, that means that no man will ever love them. I mean, these are the things that we're taught by our society. It's crazy.
Yeah, this kind of
two little granddaughters. Yeah. Well, I have two little granddaughters. I do this work, so that's not the message that they get.
Mm. Right. Because what you're talking about is tribal trauma. And what's interesting is that I will have prospects or clients talk to me, and they'll say, well, Emma, I don't understand why I have a block around earning more money or generating more money in my business, because I've never had anything really traumatic happen to me. And what you're lifting up is the importance of that more, I don't even want to say subtle, I want to say pervasive societal tribal trauma that especially women experience as they are becoming more visible, that stuff that we've maybe been able to shut down or ignore or whatever surfaces the more visible and the more powerful we become.
Yeah. And here's the big one for women. This one's so interesting. What happens to powerful women in society? What happens to women who are healers and who create magic and who do powerful things. Well, first we get thrown in a river. If you survive that, you get burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. That wound, all women carry. We all carry that wound around to start with. So I can't be powerful because it's deadly. And we see that continuing because you see powerful women now, they get trolled, they get shamed. You know, the suffragettes, they were thought to be less than feminine. They thought there was something physically wrong with these women, that they were fighting for the right to vote. That's the generational societal wound that all of us carry. So even if we have a blessed childhood, and everybody has wounds, there's no, my wounds are better than yours, my trauma's worse than yours, everybody has trauma and it affects all of us. But even in the most blessed childhood, women still have that generational, that trauma that they carry of being burned at the stake. And it's hard to be visible when you're afraid you're going to get killed for it.
Right. Right. Yeah, and how can you, I'm thinking of a conversation that I had with a man maybe a decade ago, and I'm not male bashing at all. Let me clarify, that's not my goal or my intention, but I think that there's a lack of awareness that can happen. And I was talking about how I was struggling for my voice to be heard as a woman. And he said to me, Emma, that's ridiculous. It's the 21st century. Women don't have a problem sharing their voice these days.
Right. And what happens when we do? We're called shrill. Podcasting. Oh my gosh. When I started podcasting, Emma, there was this big controversy because at that time there was 7% of women, or 7% of podcasters were women. I mean, it was an incredibly low number. And I was listening, Ira Glass on This American Life was, yeah, it was Ira was doing a podcast about women's voices. And, you know, I've got the little growl. He's got the little, they call it vocal fry. But how the women were so criticized for it. And the women podcasters were being criticized. Somebody said about one of them, oh, why would I listen to her? She's got her I'm out shopping voice on. Like, and she's talking about a serious subject. Nobody says that about a guy podcaster. I'm not going to listen to Planet Money because he sounds like he's just out shopping. Like, they wouldn't even think to say that. But they criticize women like crazy. Women get trolled. Men do not get trolled. Women, online women are, you know, really vocal women online are being threatened with rape and murder. They're being criticized for their looks, even if all you can do is hear their voice. I mean, yeah, it still exists. I'm sorry. I got on my soapbox there. I'm angry on your behalf with that man.
Right. Right. No, thank you. And yeah, thank you. So what I say to my female clients, I work with men and with women, but what I say to my female clients, when they start to get more visible in their business and when they start to get the haters commenting on their Facebook posts or sending them inappropriate emails or whatever, I always say to them, this is such a wonderful sign that you are stepping into your power, because every time you step more deeply into your own power, you are going to piss people off who are not comfortable with your power. So, of course, it's inappropriate for that person to say that to you. And pat yourself on the back, because you are becoming visible in a whole new way.
Yes. And here's what happens. So we've been living in this space where the masculine and the feminine energy have been really operating at a low level. And so as we as women start operating at a higher level in the fullness of our feminine essence, in the fullness of our power as the creators, we are the creators. We are the only species, or the only half of the planet that creates life is women. Like, we grow it in our bellies. as we take our place, the masculine will rise up to meet us, because the masculine is really designed to support the feminine. And so as we rise, the masculine rises. Mm-hmm. And when the masculine rises, the masculine creates this great container for us to go deeper. And so we're rising and going deeper at the same time. All of that allows us to create more, like it allows us to be in creation. But what's happening is we have masculine that doesn't understand what's going on, and so it's fighting it. And that's what the trolls are. That's what where the criticism comes from. It's masculine that's saying, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me if I rise up to meet you, so I'm going to try and pull you back here in the mud with me. And as women, we've got to do our own inner work. We've got to be working with the parts of us that are traumatized to heal those parts so that we can continue to rise. And eventually, there'll be a tipping point where we all operate at a higher level. And so scary as that can be, and as traumatizing as it can be, again, you know, re-traumatizing to get those comments, we have to keep going. It's the only way we're going to save the planet.
I love that, Julie. All right. So if there is a man listening to this podcast interview, because he's also interested in his own trauma and how it affects his business, what do you want to say to him?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that I'm, like you, I'm not man bashing. I have wonderful men in my life that support me. And that within all of us is this masculine and feminine. So he has a feminine side as well. And that he's got a place in this work, that while women are the creators, we don't do it alone. You know, we have the nucleus of the embryo is, you know, when that sperm gets in there. And so we need the men in our lives. We need the men to support us, not support us like, you know, subsidize our life, but to cheer us on and support the work that we're doing. And we need them doing their work too. We need them to be the platform that rises up to meet us. We need them to create containers for us to do our work in. We need the men as much as they need us. And what stops them is the very same thing that stops women. It's the little boy in them that needs love and attention. And I found working with men, sometimes it's much harder for them to go to that place where they go, oh yeah, it's a little boy inside me. Let me go take care of him. But they need to be doing that work too. Men's energy is naturally an outward push, you know? Just looking at the way they're physically designed, they're outward push. And so for them, it can sometimes be harder to do the inner work, but it is just as vital, because we need the adult them. We don't need to be operating with the 5-year-old little boys or the 12-year-old little boys. We need fully grown, authentic, whole men to be in this world and this work with the women who are doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like our role as coaches, when we're working with men, is to hold that sacred space for them to tap into those parts of themselves that they may be afraid or uncomfortable to look at. Because I found in my work with men, when they're willing to go there, when they're willing to say to me what they can't even say to themselves, healing happens almost instantaneously, because permission is given for all of them to show up. And that's what I feel so often from men, that they are longing for permission to be all of who they are, not just who they are supposed to be in the world.
Yeah, I think that's true for all of us. And I think we're all longing to be seen. You know, men and women, we all just want to be seen. We want to take off these shark masks that we wear and be seen for who we are.
Exactly. Exactly. Any final thoughts or comments for our listeners?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. First of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Emma and her wisdom. I hope that something in this sparks something in you to know that even though I probably don't know you, and maybe Emma doesn't know you either, know that you are loved and you are valued and you are important. And the little child in you deserves love, and the grown up you deserves love, and that you are an important part of the work that's happening in the world.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Julie, how can people learn more about you?
Thank you. The website is juliefouch.com, and Fouch is really weird. It rhymes with couch, but it's F-O-U-C-H-T. It's got that weird little T that you don't say on the end. So juliefouch.com is the website, and you can connect with me on Facebook at The Art of Feminine Marketing or at, what is it, Julie Fouch. Just look for Julie Fouch on Facebook, and you can still connect with me there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here with me. This was amazing as usual. I love the way that your giant brain works and that your giant heart leads.
Oh, thank you. I will take that.
All right. Beautiful. All right. Many blessings.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.